hit that baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jitter Park. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cullen.
Hey, you bite your tongue if this is not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait until the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, son?
Not too bad, you know. Got about a week before Christmas, so getting ready to take some time off, relax, do a lot of nothing.
It's that time of year.
It is. What about you?
Same. Just ready to take some time off. It's that one time of year where it's kind of universally understood we're all just going to take it easy.
Do nothing, yeah. And eat.
Pretty much. Yes. We're entitled to it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been a year. How's the weather? You know? It's getting chillier, rainy. No snow yet, or no real snow, but how about LA? Was it down to 62?
Yeah, it's beautiful today. It was like low 80s. It was great.
Nice.
I wanted to tell you a funny story. I went to, my parents were in town last week. We went to Forest Lawn to see like dead celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Michael Jackson.
In LA.
As you do. So I was like, oh, Michael Jackson's up here. And I'm a big Michael Jackson fan. So I was like, I've never seen his grave. I'll go check it out. And of course, even in death, like, you can't get in there.
No way. It's like.
it's in a crypt.
Yeah.
With like Clark Gable. It was like maybe 10 deceased folks in there. So I rung the buzzer and the security guard was like, can I help you? I said, I'm here to pay my respects. And she goes, to who? I said, to the king. And she goes, I'm sorry, it's for family only. And I went,
no.
But I am going to go back, though, with a camera and say I am part of the family and see how far I can take it as, like, a YouTube thing. I'm gonna like, be like, I'm Paris's, like, boyfriend. Like, how dare you? Because I feel like at this point, it should be open. 2009, I get it. You don't want a circus, but
yeah.
12 years later, it's not really bothering anybody.
It would always be a circus. Come on.
I think Michael would want people to visit him, though, and pay their respects.
I don't know if he would.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think he would have made that a thing.
You think he would have not wanted people?
I think it would have been a thing, you know, like...
Well,
Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, you know, it would have been a thing where we're like, it would, yeah.
But I just think, like, JFK, you can go up and touch the grave. Like, Michael Jackson, like, that's a little arrogant. Marilyn Monroe, you can go up.
Are you comparing JFK and Michael Jackson?
No, I'm saying JFK is much more universally, like, president, assassinated.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah. Well, I feel like once you're gone. I don't care if they just throw me on the side of the road and put up, like, a napkin. I'm not going to be here.
What if he's not really gone?
What if he's with Elvis?
I'm just saying, yeah.
Are there any celebrities you think are still alive that have died? Like, do you believe in any kind of conspiracy?
There is, and that's the name's escaping. Now I can't think of it. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, well, maybe they are still around.
But really?
Who it is, yeah. So
I'm really curious who you think.
I'll think about it, yeah. I was just thinking about that the other day, but I was like, well, maybe they're not, but I'll have to think about that.
Well, there are people that really believe some celebrities are still alive. Like, there are people that swear Tupac is living under, like, an assumed name, and Elvis, and it's like, no, why would they do that? That's, first of all, it's not possible, but second, it doesn't make any sense.
There's one out there about Lindsay Lohan's twin is actually her now, and...
Oh, really?
Or something like that, yeah.
People think Eminem is a clone, too, of, like, the Illuminati.
Well, he does look...
He does look very different than he did in 2006.
It is. When they had the fake Melania Trump going around, I was like, well, it's her doppelganger. Yeah, the fembot, yeah, so...
baby. But anyway, you're listening to the podcast. Well, Set Jitter Saturdays with the great Robert Patterson. Check out his website at setjitter.com. We're going to start off with what you've been watching, and let's kick it off with you, Robert. What's new?
I've been watching quite a bit, so it's been a while since we chatted. So I'll start up with 5/25/77.
What is this?
It is a movie that I had a friend over, Nick, who's an avid listener, and this was on in the background with no sound. And it seemed kind of intriguing because I was like, you know, obviously that's the date of the release of Star Wars. So no sound down the background. I could see different things happening. It looks like he was like a young aspiring filmmaker and Colleen Camp played his mom and so forth. I'm like, what is this? Why haven't I heard about that? And then I watched it. And this is why we don't hear about this movie.
Is it really that bad?
It was pretty torturous to get through. So
yikes. It's one a coming of age drama. I'm reading the description.
In real time. It's like over 2 hours.
Oh gosh.
And it's one of those, like, you know, you know those, and I see a lot of these kind of pretentious, you see it at Sundance movies where these, you know, 17-year-old is like talking about films, whatever, and what 2001 really meant, whatever. And it's always it's always adult speak coming out of a, you know.
Yeah, right.
A kid, you know, like it's just like they're just showing off.
That's the first thing I thought of without ever seeing this movie. The first line in the description is sees a 2001 Space Odyssey. I'm like, of course.
Yeah.
It's
one of those, and it never ends. And I didn't look ahead to see what I always thought this would be a good 90-minute thing. I didn't realize it went on and on and on. And of course it did reek of, you know, he got to meet Steven Spielberg, you know, and go to the set of Close Encounter. Like, I'm just like, oh my God. Like,
oh, here we go.
And then you could tell they ran out of money at some point because then there was some sci-fi effect shots where it looked like some things were probably filmed 2 years later because they put a wig on the kid. And, you know, it was just like, it was a mess.
Oh no.
And I'm sorry I ever watched it.
Well, now you know. Now you know. It has reviews are not kind.
Are they not? I haven't looked. I didn't look.
I'm just looking at one. I'm sure I don't know the whole scope, but yeah, I don't think it's one I'll be watching then. Robert knows.
But I thought, hey, okay, I like Star Wars, you know. I'll give it a look.
Of those fan film movies can be really good if they're done right. I mean, there's some really great movies like that. I mean, there's a whole movie where they're in the basement of a Beatles concert, and it's like you feel like you're there. It's like there's different things, but this wasn't one of them, it sounds like.
This would be one of those where I'd make the trailer. You know, they had those, like, parody movie trailers, like, you know, there have been a lot of movies made about Star Wars that have, you know, been stupendous or whatever. This is not one of them.
This is not one of them. So, meet Jake.
Yes. I was like, whew. Anyway. Oh, also, just a couple steps above that, I decided to watch Ladies of the 80s, A Diva's Christmas. You know, so it had Donna Mills, it had Linda Gray, two of my favorites, Morgan Fairchild, Christopher Atkins, Lonnie Anderson, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, so I said, let me watch this, but I'm glad they all had a good time, you know. But
was it nice to see them all on screen again? Because, like, Lonnie Anderson and Morgan Fairchild alone could probably carry a show.
You would think, yeah. So it was fine. You know, it was like, they actually, really? They should have just been them, but they kind of shoehorned in, you know, like, I think it was Donna Mills' son and a girl, and they're trying to get them together and blah blah blah. You know, like we actually don't need that. Nobody's watching this show to see the romance story of their. Actually, kept saying son, but it should probably be grandson at this point. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was, but anyway, I'm like, I'll give it a chance. I'll give these ladies a chance, you know. So, but.
I did see some promotion for that. It didn't look bad, but yeah.
No, Linda Gray was. I think Linda Gray was the one that fared best because I think she kind of got it. She was kind of poking fun at herself and.
Oh really?
Yeah, pretending to be kind of all.
She knew it was kind of a gimmick.
Yeah. So she was having fun with it. Donna, they all did. They all did. But it was just like they should have kind of stepped farther. You know, like let's just do it. Come on.
Yeah. Right.
But probably played it a little bit too safe.
So. Ladies of the 80s.
When Ryan O'Neal passed, I decided to watch probably the one I'm just most familiar with him, Irreconcilable Differences with Shelley Long and Drew Barrymore and him. So.
Oh, yeah.
So
you didn't watch Love Story?
I did not. So that was kind of before my time. And
sure.
I wouldn't get it.
Yeah. Reconcilable Differences is about divorce.
Drew Barrymore decides to divorce her parents. So it's very LA.
Right, where
they meet and, you know, and they kind of go through life or whatever, and they end up ignoring their kid. And but yeah, big LA story and all. Sharon Stone, introducing Sharon Stone.
Oh, wow. This okay.
This was her first kind of, I think,
speaking. So this is 80s then?
No, I can't remember. It probably was. I have no idea when it came out, even though I've done some locations for it.
Oh, cool.
I published it, but
very nice.
Yeah, now I kind of have to look to see exactly what year it is. 1984. It's still a blog entry. I still have not done a proper update. So next year will be the 40th anniversary. So.
Okay, cool.
Keep a lookout. So it still holds up pretty well. I'm not sure if you've seen it or probably not.
I don't think so. No.
It's not too well known. But
Ryan O'Neill, though. Godspeed.
Yep. Also, 40th anniversary, just celebrated Terms of Endearment. And I just watched it on the new 4K. So. Oh,
so good. How was it? How's the 4K?
4K looks good. I've seen it many, many times, and it's obviously this is probably the best it's looked. It still gets me every time. I know what's coming, and I know the dialogue by heart, and it still gets you.
It still hits.
Yeah.
Like, that is a rewatchable classic. Yeah, for
how
sure.
How does that happen? I don't know. So, it's been 40 years, which is just crazy. So. Christine also celebrated its 40th anniversary, I think maybe the same day, which is kind of a strange.
Interesting. Good old Christine, though. Yeah.
So, and I threw on the 4K for that one. I hadn't watched the 4K yet. So,
cool. How is it?
It looks pretty fantastic. I know we've talked about before that Christine on Fire, there's just nothing, no visual like it.
No, there's not. There's not. And if you've read the book before you've seen the film, which I think you and I both did, it's interesting. I had a completely different idea of what that world looked like, and the movie was it did a good job. It is a good movie. It is fun.
And I know there's still rumors. I don't know. Obviously, writer's strike threw things into a tailspin that it was going to be made into another movie or series or something like that. I think. But
I could see that's in need of a reboot.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how it does. So. Impulse buy a couple weeks ago, I decided to buy the Police Academy series on Blu-ray, Shout Factory. So,
Russia and all.
So, I watched all 7 of them.
Oh my gosh.
I did.
Did you watch them in order?
Of course. What are the ways to watch them?
Of course.
So, needless to say, first one, it's still pretty funny, and I'm still kind of snorting at a couple jokes here and there.
Good.
Laughing. And then, next one, not as good. But we introduced Bobcat Goldthwait as, you know, and it's kind of like,
yeah,
there's parts, you know, we'd still kind of giggle.
Yeah.
The
first two are the only ones I really watch anymore.
Yeah. And then they start to just get progressively worse. And then I think I saw the first 4 at least in the theater for sure. So, and I really remember Citizens on
the Police
Academy Force. Citizens on Patrol. Because
I do remember that.
Funny in some way or something like that. So I used to do that. So
yeah.
Police Academy 5 is the assignment Miami Beach. So you know,
did they go to Miami Beach?
They actually did. They just went on the scooter. What do you call that? Water scooters, but you know what I mean. I don't hear you.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Yeah. So they're going on the kind of Kawasaki kind of water skis things or something like that. So each one always has a big thing at the end, and then every time Police Academy 4, they had hot air balloons and so forth. Also,
yeah, I do remember the hot air balloons. Was that 4?
That was 4.
Why the hot air balloons?
Because it was in the air and they had planes. And so they actually, some of it is decent stunts. You know, I'll have to give them that. I'm like, okay. They kind of put some money towards that. Police Academy 4 also with Sharon Stone.
Is she really? That's amazing. Yeah,
as the reporter. So she paid her dues. Let's say that, you know, she and I think they said that she did look fondly upon her time in this movie. She thought it was kind of funny.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, so it was good. So Police Academy 6, City Under Siege. And you can kind of feel like the budget kept going down and the jokes literally just got worse.
Recycled.
Yeah, it was because the first one had it was a little bit of Porky's, of course, and then you kind of had some raunchiness, and then they kept going to PG-13 and practically PG, practically G at some point, you know, and it was just like not goofball.
Yeah, that's not what made it successful to begin with.
Yeah, and then I had never seen it, but the seventh one is Mission to Moscow.
Oof. That's it, Mission to Moscow.
That one took a couple sittings.
Oh, is that bad?
Make my way through. There's just nothing there, you know. It's just like,
I mean, the premise itself that like a police department's going to Cold War Soviet Union is ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway.
All you have to do is I dare you to watch the trailer to that, and you've seen the movie. I'll tell you that. So.
Oh gosh, Mission to Moscow. That's so. The first two are still kind of okay though.
Yeah, yeah. The first one for sure. The second one, you know, I was kind of more interested because they shot in L.A. For that one. And I was like, oh, okay, let me kind of see what they're doing and where they're at and so forth. And I actually was, I pulled up, I was going to do the locations, but you really don't want to go to any of these places anymore.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. No, I.
Yeah.
I remember from the first two, you're in some seedy regions.
Yeah. So, so a couple of them at the end, according to my code, perfect DVD coasters.
Oh, perfect DVD coasters.
So there you go.
But, makes me want to watch the original, though.
The original is still worth watching. And I still love the horse scene. I don't know why. I still think it's the funniest part is the next scene where his hair is all cleaned and wet still and combed over.
Oh, yeah. I know immediately.
Yeah. So, Leave the World Behind. Have you watched that yet?
Yeah, I just watched it. I just watched that last night.
I'll wait to talk about that until we get to your point, but until your part. Went to the theater and saw Wonka.
You did. You saw Wonka. How is it?
I actually enjoyed it. I don't know if it's something I will buy. I would watch again on HBO at the very least, probably. So it's not like I was like, it's not, you know, certainly better than the remake,
the Johnny Depp one.
Yeah, and so
we were very critical of the trailer of Wonka. So
because primarily he just came off super flat in the trailer. I'm like, what are we doing here? But it has some endearing moments and enough to kind of like, oh, this is cute. You know, I enjoyed my time.
I like to hear that. It's like a dark horse because we expected it to be bad, and based on the trailer, didn't do it any justice. Still,
no.
Because they've been pushing it down your throat, so I thought maybe the movie really sucked because I'm seeing it everywhere now. That's like full swing, but that's like kind of nice to know that it's like a good movie.
Yeah. So and it's not like a Barbie surprise movie. Like, hey, it's 10 times better than you would have think. You know, but
no.
But it's enjoyable. So
how is
maybe it's because I just watched Mission to Moscow too.
Oh,
so at this point, it's like it's Citizen Kane.
Right after Mission to Moscow, paint drawing is.
Yeah.
But did you? Was Hugh Grant like in there a lot? I know he was like has a small role.
He's in a few scenes as the Oompa Loompa. And I tried not to take because I did hear he was kind of dissing on the movie too that he hated being in it and he only did stuff like that, which is kind of shitty, you know, like. Or save that for like 5 years later, you know, like,
yeah.
The movie hasn't came out. I'm sure you got paid nicely. So.
Right. Yeah. He was taken care of.
Yeah.
Oh, good to know, though. And it's much better than the 2006 or whatever. It was.
Yeah. It's not, you know, the 2006 was cynical. And the first one was cynical, too, obviously. But this felt more like a Mary Poppins Returns. Where it's just kind of like, it's lighter than the original one, and it's kind of fun. It has some, songs that kind of are nicely done. It's also light as a feather, you know. It's like, It's the cotton candy of movies, you know. It's not like I completely forgot me. And I was like, yeah, it was great. It was a nice dessert to have, you know.
Nice. I like to hear that. Yeah. Okay, cool. I'll check that out for sure.
But yeah. And Wonka. Then, of course, and Leave the World Behind. So since we both watched that, let me get your thoughts first.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was different than a lot of post-apocalyptical kind of movies I've seen. I do wish it was more of Kevin Bacon plays Danny in the movie. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish it was more about him. He was like such an interesting guy. I didn't think the other characters were very interesting at all, even though a lot of them are great actors. And I thought Ethan Hawke did a good job. I don't know. I felt like they were kind of I didn't care about him so much. So I don't know. It was good. It wasn't great. I think
it's hard when they have a high amount of unlikability. And
everybody did, even that kid like masturbating in the room. I'm like these people are like terrible.
You were not like, oh no, nobody was endearing to you.
not even a little bit.
Yeah, and to the point, everybody and honestly, let's say in book form, that's probably fine, and that's also kind of true life. You know that not our life is not filled with all these kind of endearing people. But if you want us to kind of follow them on this journey, it becomes more difficult to do. So I liked it because there was enough intrigue, you know, and it's always a first time watching. You're like, well, what is happening? What, you know,
the intrigue factor is there for sure.
I haven't done a second watch yet, but there's enough going on, and I don't know how much you noticed. So one, we'll talk about the cinematography, because obviously what did stuck out, like anytime things were blue, things were good, between the pool color or the clothes or the signs, like the family's all dressed in blue versus when things have been red, you know, at the end, or obviously the drone flyers were red. Even the spoilers, the house at the end, it's not really spoiling, but you know, like until this person goes downstairs, everything is red upstairs, but blue downstairs when.
Yeah. I picked up on that too. It was good use of foreshadowing. And then
the two things, the painting. So in the painting in the living room kept changing as it went on. You'd start to notice, because they would always kind of be framed in front of it. And you're like, well, that's not the painting that I remember.
There.
And even more noticeable was the bedroom, the ocean wallpaper, for lack of a better word, was super calm in the beginning, and it was a storm by the end. So it might have been a little too on the nose, but I at least appreciate filmmakers doing stuff like that. So,
and they very subtly made a mention of the artwork earlier on, not that it was changing, but that there's no photos of them. It's just this artwork kind of thing. And they didn't bring it up again. And the fact that they added that detail, I agree with you. I do like that attention to detail. It's kind of an Easter egg-y feel to it. And as far as the intrigue, like the oil tanker and the cars crashing, I mean, I love all that stuff. I thought that very fish out of water, foreshadowing, like chaotic societal crumbling thing. Like, we love The Stand, you know? So anything like that is up my alley. And I thought it was... those things were really good. Just to back up, when I mentioned Kevin Bacon, you know, they have New York, spoiler alerts, New York being bombed, Civil War chaos, and then you have Kevin Bacon, cool as a cucumber. Like, you know, I feel like if it were about him and his, or just more of him, it would have been, but I don't know, I guess what I'm trying to say is they underutilized him. Maybe he only had a day of filming, but he could have been character. Yeah. Yeah, but he could have been, I mean, they got Julia Roberts. Like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's a small part, but I feel like they could have utilized him more and even that character more. Because that was a lot of, you know, less deer, more of like Kevin Bacon stocking up, and interaction would have been great. Because if he was only kind of in there for like 10 seconds and then not in until that one scene towards the end.
Yeah.
But I'm also biased. I'm a big fan. So. Yeah.
Well, imagine if this was like act one of The New Stand, you know, it'd be a little bit more intriguing, you know, like,
yeah,
where's Franny?
You should get Franny.
Where's the,
But you liked it. You were a fan.
Yeah, so I liked it. It's probably going to give it a watch again at some point, not right away, but I was like, okay, there was more to this than I was probably giving it credit to.
I do like that they, I think, respectfully portrayed how addicted we are to screen time and reliant we are on technology without hitting you over the head on there. Like, it was a little bit much with Julia Roberts and, like, the alerts scene, I mean, but it shows you, it kind of makes you reflect, like, how dependent are we on these devices, you know, which is interesting.
And buy physical media.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Buy physical media. Get a bunch.
I was like, looking at him, like, they have Buffy. They have, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. If you pause that scene, you look at all the, they had Indiana Jones. Like, it was, they were stocked up.
They knew what you should be watching. See, and I was like, see, I have my closet. I didn't realize it was End of the World closet, but now I know.
I would never want to live in a doomsday thing if there were an event. I'd just want to be taken out because I would never be able to sit down there, watch movies, and think like, oh, well, you know, because my mind will go to a movie and be like, oh, we should do that. Oh, we can't. It's gone. Or I like to visit. Oh, I can't.
Maybe we should visit that. Oh, they should have had Mark Wahlberg driving by in one scene. Stupid. Go. Come on, you guys.
Anybody care what happened to the bees?
Yeah, it's the bees that did. They should have had him on the corner talking about the bees and hot dogs or something like that. Yeah.
So just to wrap up the discussion on that before we move on, is it, it's safe to say, because I haven't read the book, it's safe to say it was exactly what G.H. predicted. It was a civil war by rogue parts of the military, like if the South revolted against us kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was kind of, we... I'm just saying it's probably not too hard, as we now know, to start a civil war with the United
States. Which is very scary.
Yeah. So, so hopefully nobody else is taking notes, but they already know that.
Yeah. So that was Leave the World Behind on Netflix. I watched all the Garfield specials are on Peacock, Robert.
Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a Garfield special.
They're great. They're all from the 80s, and they're... It's like Garfield Goes to Hollywood, Garfield in Paradise, Garfield Christmas. I never thought these would ever see the light of day again. One is because they're kind of dated, which is fine. I love them. And two is they weren't like the best quality. And I feel like the Garfield specials are not like a huge phenomenon, like Christmas Vacation or something.
Yeah.
And I've always loved them, and they're on YouTube, so I've always watched them on there every year. But the fact that NBC just put them all on the homepage is like, it's an early Christmas present. It was great.
So I'm old enough that I was a Garfield fan of the books.
Books are great.
But I'm also
Garfield
old
Nine Lives.
I don't even think I knew that there was movies or
specials.
Yeah,
there's movies. So. There's pretty much one for every holiday. I think the two best are Garfield Halloween and Garfield Christmas. Lorenzo Music as Garfield is like great.
All right, I'll add.
Sounds like Bill Murray.
I'll try to add Garfield.
Oh, please.
I'll do my best to watch one of them.
They're literally only like 18 minutes long, so you can get through it pretty quick.
Okay, I could do it maybe while I'm doing my walking pad. I'll do some Garfield. So
if
I can watch Mission to Moscow.
Right.
You can
give Jim Davis his dues. Yeah. And I rewatched Red Dawn, the original, of course. Which it was before Leave the World Behind. I watched that, and then I saw that was streaming, and I was like, "Oh, another post-apoc. Let's have a wild night."
What a great Christmas movies double feature.
Red Dawn, which is always great, and you know the Wolverines. It's funny.
You know, they should do like the Red Dawn Christmas special. They should just do stuff like that.
They have to, yeah. Red Dawn, Red and Green Dawn Christmas special.
Oh, perfect.
Swayze. Christmas Vacation, of course, which we've talked about.
Always
I don't know, Margo.
Always a good one to watch, yeah.
I think Christmas Vacation does get better with age. It's just little lines that you're like, oh, yeah, that they said that. And, oh, yeah, this. And... You serious, Clark? Just looks at him. It's just so good.
Yeah, every few minutes there's something that even if,
something.
Even the ones that do fall flat, and there's not too many. Right. But I think we look at the cast, I think of the grandparents. I mean, Diane Ladd. I mean, I still say, I got a shiny quarter for Audrey, too, you know, to rub her feet and stuff like that. And I mean, I still love the, they're getting ready and they're ding dong. And it keeps going to octave lower. Ding dong. Like,
it keeps going.
Yeah, which is kind of a callback to like 16 Candles when the grandparents, like, you know, the nightmares. I think they have the Twilight Zone and stuff like that. But everybody's kind of spot on and clips by pretty quick. And so it's all good.
Even with Chevy Chase. And it's funny. I agree. It's threaded just the right way where every few minutes there's a memorable line. And it keeps you going. And I do love the artwork, and I always will, because it has nothing to do with the movie. He never is electrocuted in a Santa outfit.
Yeah.
But it's like the most iconic Christmas movie poster ever. You know, you'll crack up and you're like, yeah, okay, let's do it. Like, it's just the font and everything. Like, I've always loved that.
And it's so old now.
It's so old now. I know. Rewatched White Christmas, of course.
Okay. That's kind of your.
That's a go-to.
Annual, yeah.
And Dial of Destiny I watched, which left a really bad taste in my mouth.
Had you seen it in the theater, or was this your first watch?
My first watch.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, you said before that Mads Mikkelsen, he got hit with something early on. There's no way he could have survived. And as soon as that happened, I thought, there's no way you could survive that. And then I was like, well, Robert just mentioned that. And then like a scene later, he's back. And I'm like, no.
I don't think they even gave him a scar or anything. Or
nothing. Or
a speech impediment or something. Like,
that was really,
like,
really.
Half his brain was knocked out and he's like, everything's fine. Like,
that was really bad.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent to getting having like a car run over your head. And he's like, I'm working on NASA now, Apollo. And he's like,
I'm even smarter.
You know, I did like, there's two things I really liked about it. One is it was the first time, as far as I remember, that Indiana Jones was underwater, and it was an Aegean ancient shipwreck, which I think is kind of cool to see like an old thing. And two is when he went back in time, the Battle of Syracuse, to see that kind of battle, which is not portrayed on film very well often or if ever. To see him as the archaeologist, like taking in all this old historical thing, I thought was very cool. But other than that, the henchmen were boring. Mads Mikkelsen is such a great actor, but for him to be unforgettable is like they did something wrong, and it's not his fault. It's like the script, because he's such a good villain, and he was like forgettable in this. It was not good.
He wasn't even that evil.
He was kind of like, I'm gonna kill Hitler. You're like, yeah, okay, let's do it.
Like, you're like, I'll take it. I'm like, well, maybe he would have done it. Who knows? But I think they tried to put in little things to show that he was evil, like his interaction with the waiter and stuff like that. I was like,
oh yeah,
he's kind of like, are you just, is that only there to like, ooh, boo, you know, like,
yeah, he's racist,
weird. Then the Helena, she had moments of like, are we supposed to not like her? She's kind of unforgiving, you know, also unlikable.
Yes.
And there's like, is she going to be endearing later? Is she going to learn her? I don't know. Everything's just weird.
Right. And well, when they had the actor that played Basil, who I really like, Toby, that dude from The Mist.
Yes.
I like their chemistry a lot. And I didn't know where the movie was going because I didn't like pre-read anything on it. So I kind of did like their chemistry, and I was like, he's the funny man to Indiana Jones, the straight kinda man, like this,
the new Denholm Elliott, you know, since he was kind of that funny, awkward, like, oh, you know, the version.
It kind of worked, and then he died, and this unlikable daughter is just like, my father had the other pass of the alchemic thing, and you're like, oh, please tell me she's not like the Jones girl in this, and then she is, and you don't know if she's good, and then it's, I don't know. I did not like it, Matt. I don't think I'll ever watch it again.
And it was kind of like he was happened to be talking about it, in class the same day that she was there, and then that it was also like everything was like all
and it's his last day.
Everything's happening on that day, and it's also the day of the big parade. And I'm just like, is this all? It was also his last day of, you know, like, is he teaching on his last day?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like he was like retiring, and then yeah.
And part of me, like, all that was like, it really, so much happened on that last day. I was like, do you get in the head too? And this is all his dream. You know, he's going to wake up and Marion's going to be, you were there and you were there. And,
yeah, and you were there. And Sala was there.
Yeah. Sala. Anyway.
Hey, I read, you said on the last show you weren't like a huge fan of him. And I read, and I know why. I see why. He is a piece of shit.
Yeah, so, which is like,
no offense to the filmmakers of the movie. I'm just saying, the guy sucks from what I read in his personal life.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Dial Destiny sucked. I would go to back bold statements or Kingdom of the Crystal Skull before I did this again. At least that had the big warehouse in the beginning in the arc, and there was some kind of, like, thing. This went back to the Nazis, but I'm pretty sure after he left Cairo in Lost Ark, he wasn't going back to, I mean, I don't know.
It's just, always that they're always like, the Nazis worked. Let's try that again.
You know? Yeah, exactly. It's like that. I guess what I'm trying to say is that part of the sphere was already closed. Like, why are you opening that back up? You did the Russians. That wasn't great, but at least it was original. You did Temple of Doom. Like, it's the 60s. Do something different. I don't know. Yeah. But I don't know. It wasn't good.
They literally should have waited a couple years and realized. They could have brought Short Round back, and he could have taken over. That, you know, like, you know, because now that actor's
Oscar that would have been a good and, see that
and it would
have made
sense to say, hey, he's not handing it off. The series is not being handed off, but now it's getting spun off for, you know, Short Round and the Dial of Destiny. Right,
that
now,
like, would be good.
Good
That's
enough.
Where Robert, you know? Knows yeah. best.
Yeah. So, well, I think anybody knows better than Kathleen Kennedy at this point. So.
Yeah, it was. So I'm glad you I'm sorry it sucked, but I'm glad you agree that it and everybody I've spoken to another buddy who's a big Indiana Jones fan, and he's like a smart film guy too, like you are, and he said the same thing, like it's just not memorable. And yeah, it's these old franchises that are so beloved, you need to treat them carefully, and they just don't. I mean, look at Jurassic Park, and they just don't treat them with respect, and it's crap.
It makes you never want them to do you never want them to do another one again.
it's a conversation for another show, but I bet if we pin together reboots of great movies versus whatever, like RoboCop and whatnot, it's more often, I bet it's probably like over 50% they suck.
Yeah.
They're just very few reboots or sequels, I should say, of beloved are really like, worth it or needed to be done.
Yeah. And I don't know how much, well, this one was also Studio Medellin, I think, but also I think it probably started off with a not so good script and then it became worse. But,
oh yeah. Yeah. I think so. All right. So that was what you've been watching. And, I wanted to, mention, we have a fan, who is on YouTube at, Sean Eagley, 3560, that old same name.
Oh, yes.
He wanted to say Matthew and Robert, the 1990 movie tagline quiz blew my mind, no doubt. I didn't know James Caan and Kathy Bates also were in Dick Tracy, but thumbs up to both of you for sure. And then he made a note, there was one flick, though, from 1989, and that was Driving Miss Daisy. So I guess I made a mistake there. I think it was the highest grossing of 1990, gotcha. But it was released in 1989. So
gotcha.
I've been mentioning that and saying thank you.
Sometimes, yeah, they have the what do you call it? They're released, you know, December 31st. They for Oscar reasons, they do technically have a year before release date, but they really don't get released in widestream and or widespread until the following year. But it happens. Yeah,
it happens. Before I read the Beverly Hills Cop trailer, I was actually thinking about it at that moment. And then I saw you added it in and I was like, Robert and I were connected in
I knew you were thinking about it. And that's why
Do you want to give it a watch through?
If you would like.
Okay. Cause I'm really curious about what your thoughts are on this.
If we're allowed.
If we're allowed.
I almost admire you. Still on these streets. Running uncut. I'm just amazed. Doesn't get to you.
Your lyrics just picture and so hard that your head can't picture.
Watch your ass out there, okay?
I'm gonna be fine. They love me in Beverly Hills.
Detective Foley, you ever read your own file? Shootouts, storm the peace, a lot.
Please tell me you didn't get arrested again.
Twice, but I broke out.
I'm going back to
we put our lives on the line. Every day.
And for what?
Comes with the job if you're doing it right.
So how many people have you pissed off so far?
I haven't pissed off anybody.
Yeah, 50-50.
50-50. Is it that high?
So far.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, I feel like the music and the trailer is really cool, but again, do we need another Beverly Hills Cop? Like... are people screaming for this?
I always like, who is asking for this? Right. It should be about my demographic, you know, like, oh, another one. Who can wait? Even let me pause a moment because they are releasing the first three Beverly Hills Cops movies in 4K, including Beverly Hills Cop 3.
With George Lucas's cameo?
Yes, I was just... I want to see that in 4K. I can't tell you. but yeah, so part of me is like, who is asking for this? They had to have spent a pretty penny to make this look like kind of a worthwhile film. And obviously, there's Kevin Bacon.
There he is.
Obviously, they bring everybody back. You know, the Judge Reinhold and Bronson Pinchot, Paul Reiser. You know, like like they're not doing anything. But part of me is like, how do you get Joseph Gordon-Levitt to do this?
Yeah, he seems very out of place.
What kind of film
also,
is
also do you think Eddie Murphy's doing this because he just keeps making terrible movies and he hasn't really made a good movie in 30 years?
No.
Is it because like it's he needs money or this is it? Because they've asked him to do more Beverly Hills Cops and he said no. So
yeah,
you know, maybe he's like, well, this is it, you know, like I can't do anything else.
It's possible. And it does start off. So obviously this isn't all goofs and laughs in the way they're kind of making it a serious thing.
It's looks more like SWAT was.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things that like, is this kind of like a high drama, tense thriller action with bits of comedy versus,
yeah, good
less
question.
Type thing. Yeah, which is fine, but people aren't tuning into Eddie Murphy for that either. So I don't.
No. That's a really good point. It's on Netflix. I'll definitely watch it. Is it coming out
this summer? It says so. Oh, this really? Is a long lead up.
It's 6 months.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. They're. Making it so long. Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Will you rewatch the other three?
Well, definitely three.
Well, you have to.
I probably should. You know, if I can watch seven police academies.
Can do anything now. If you watch all seven in order. So.
Yeah. Now, I was curious because I'm like, I wonder who directed this. And from what I can tell, this is the first. Film to be directed by this person.
Oh, really?
Yes, Mark Malloy. I was kind of looking. I'm like, because I was just kind of curious. I'm like, oh, did they find somebody old school, whatever? No, it looks like somebody that's never really done anything. So
interesting that they went with somebody new.
Yeah, like previous directing things were, you know, Apple iPad, Homework, Apple at Work, The Underdogs. Like, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nissan, Shoulders of Giants. So the money all went to Eddie, from what I can tell.
So. Oh, I'm sure. he probably got at least like $15 million just to do it, you know.
And it makes me think that Eddie actually directed it, but they needed a person just for him to yes man or something like that. So
that's probably true.
Yeah. So anyway, I was kind of curious. I'm like, usually I'm like, well, I wonder who did this, you know, because like, did they go back to, you know, find somebody that so they could bring some of the same flavor to it?
Oh, yeah.
But no. Yeah.
No.
No. Industrial video director.
And that is a long lead up to 6 months.
Yeah. Are people going to get excited now? But I was like, great. A great Christmas Day movie where everybody. That would make sense to me. Where you say, hey, this could be intergenerational. It's PG-13, everybody. We should all watch. It'll be, toned down, you know, yeah. Eddie Murphy versus what, you know, kind of we saw. But
right.
But no, summer. Who can wait? That's what everybody's have a big summer fun of watching Axel F. It's not even Beverly Hills Cop 4. It's just Axel F.
And it's so funny that makes sense though. You're gonna advertise it before Christmas. Everybody's home. That's when to put it out. Like the summer. I mean, I don't think Beverly Hills Cop franchise, for as fun as it is like this blockbuster thing where it's like 6 months from now. It's not Star Wars.
No.
Like it's a Netflix only. Like the movie's clearly finished. You know.
Tickets go on sale in 90 days. You know. Like.
When are we getting another Cobra Kai? I feel like it's been a while. Isn't that wrapping up?
Sly probably still needs some money. I mean, I was thinking of Cobra. Never mind.
Cobra would be great.
Yeah, Cobra Kai. I don't know what happened to that. Because I assume they shot. Didn't they shoot it back to back?
I thought they did. Yeah, I thought they shot the last. Done,
so, well, ask your buddy. He should know.
Yeah, I think he's probably. I hope he's in it. I just talked to him too. He's a good dude. All right, we're gonna do Robert. I'm gonna put you in the hot seat for a guess the movie by the tagline, Christmas edition.
I'm gonna do so bad.
You're gonna do so great.
I can barely come up with Christmas movies. So
you're a smart guy.
I'll try, but Christmas movies aren't my thing. So
I know, but I tried to put it together. So
okay.
If there were several, it would be hintful.
All right.
Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready as can be.
Okay. The first one is The Man Behind the Miracle is bringing you laughter, tenderness, joy such as your heart has never known before. Key word in that is miracle.
Behind the Miracle. There a movie called The Miracle? I'm guessing.
I think there is a movie called Miracle.
Is that what that is meaning? I don't know.
You know, we're going to take that answer as a yes. It's Miracle on 34th Street.
Okay.
Which is a 1947 Natalie Wood movie.
Yes.
And they also did one with John Hughes that he wrote.
That's what I just like. Every time you hear a bell ring. Yeah. That's all I know.
next one is Christmas is canceled.
That would be Christmas with the Cranks.
Is that what it is? I don't know. Grinch who stole Christmas.
Oh, is it the Grinch? Oh, okay. That's all I... Sorry.
Which they used to have at Universal for a long time, right?
So I remember the Grinch was there. I've been to Universal kind of during the holidays and too, and you could take a picture with them. It's usually pretty good. And then Whoville, is that what it was called? Was usually right behind Whoville. Bates Motel, which would always ruin pictures. You know, you have the Bates Motel.
That
and,
was
know,
it. Yeah.
The Whoville behind it. I was just like, oh. And then they would put, here's some Fast and Furious cards in front of Whoville. I'm like, just get rid of it. You know, it's styrofoam. Just, yeah.
And were they still up after like the Grinch wrapped?
Oh, probably 20 years, I swear.
See, that's too long for a Christmas movie. That's out of place.
They're not going to use those sets again, you know, so just...
Right, I'm saying if you're there in July in 2018 and you're seeing the Grinch from 2000, that's just such a weird
thing. So they're finally gone, at least, so...
They're finally gone.
They are gone, yeah, so...
Next tagline is, he's up past his bedtime in the city that never sleeps.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like a horror Santa.
Kind of. It does. It's not a horror Santa, but it is a movie that you hate.
Is it Bad Santa?
It's not Bad Santa.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. Bad Santa's not on this list, unfortunately. Okay. I think I forgot that one. But the key is the city that never sleeps. What city is that? It is in the title of the movie.
Oh, so it's a New York Christmas of some sort.
Oh, it's a New York Christmas, baby.
Oh my gosh.
I'll give you another hint.
Bad at this. Okay.
It's literally the same plot as the first movie, which was a blockbuster comedy that you did not find funny at all. Oh, although
Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Yes.
Ugh.
I just love the story that you saw Home Alone in the theater and you were looking around going, why is everyone laughing at this?
I was so mad. Oh, I was.
Because you were what, like 15, 7?
I think I was an older teenager then. I was probably 19 or 20. Or
perfect. So 19.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah, that's. No, it's not
people
funny.
Like, it's like, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with all you people? This is not funny.
It's not. Joe Pesci's like, freaking ticket, bucka, bucka, bucka.
And they're like, you know, oh. Like, oh, and like, no, no.
No, it's hilarious. Next tagline is, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Well, see, I thought that was Miracle on 34th Street.
It's in the same vein.
It's in the same vein.
This is often considered the best Christmas movie ever. It's like always like number one on Christmas lists.
And that's the tagline for the movie?
That's one of them. There were a bunch, but the other ones were like, is it Paramount Pictures presents so-and-so in his best, or whatever it is.
It's an
old movie. It's a black and white.
Oh, is it It's a Wonderful Life?
It's a Wonderful Life, okay, yes, sir. Gotcha. I know you're not a big Christmas movie guy, so I'm going to coach you through these.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next one is, I think you'll get this one. He's the only chance anyone has got.
Is it the Santa Claus? Oh, is this Silent?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Oh, Die Hard.
Die Hard. Some debate on whether that's a Christmas movie or not.
We're going down that route.
Is it a Christmas movie, Robert? Settle it.
It is, as if we also consider stuff like The Long Kiss Goodnight a Christmas movie. Yeah.
There it is. Okay. Yeah. Or we consider Batman Returns a Christmas movie.
I would.
I would too. Next up is Two Dads, One Toy, No Prisoners.
Hmm.
Oh gosh.
Is this a John Hughes movie?
I've never seen this movie.
Oh.
But it has.
Say the tagline again.
Two dads, one toy, no prisoners. And it is a 1996 family comedy film with a major action star. Like, one of the top three biggest action movie stars ever is the lead in this. But it's a Christmas comedy.
It sounds so familiar to me, too. Is the title a little girl's name or something like that? Or?
Jingle All the Way.
Oh.
Schwarzenegger.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Which I always confuse that and Danny DeVito in his other Christmas movie, because they were, yeah. I guess they were both in Twins. And
yes.
I've never seen that.
That's what I was thinking of. Yes.
Yeah, I always lump those together.
Speaking of, I know, speaking of Danny DeVito, obviously he was the Penguin and Jack Nicholson was
Joker.
The Joker. And people always point to that they were together in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
And like, oh, yeah. They were also had scenes together in Terms of Endearment. So there's a lot of
they
Batman.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah. So, yeah. So,
oh, yeah. They were old friends, too.
The whole universe was being set up.
It was being set up.
Yes.
That's so cool. I need to see Terms again. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's probably been about 5 years.
Always
it was. Good. It was 2018 when I saw it last.
It's time.
Next on the quiz, tagline quiz is coming soon, actually.
Is it Love Actually?
Yes, it is.
Great. That's just how fantastic. <Just kidding. laughs>
How fantastic.
I know you want me to watch this movie, but...
I just want to hear your thoughts on it. I'm not trying to sell it like you like it. I don't think you'll like it at all.
Yeah.
It's just, you just got to see it. You just got to see it. It's an all-star cast. I mean, there's great actors in it.
But, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Keep going. Keep going. I'm sure it's fantastic. Yeah.
It's okay. It's like,
Will I be laughing out loud?
There are three scenes that come to immediately to mind that I think you would genuinely appreciate.
Unintentionally.
Non-intentionally.
Yeah.
Oh, you will be laughing out loud, though.
Okay.
At some cringe moments. Okay. Next one is now, the story that has brought joy to millions, a new screen triumph.
Santa Claus, the movie?
There's no way you can actually piece this together based on that tagline, so I'm just going to tell you it's 1951's A Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was kind of... Yeah.
Yeah.
Great movie, though. Best Scrooge, if you ask me. Okay, you like this movie.
Okay.
The tagline is, guess who's coming to town?
I like this movie.
You do.
I
think you can't look away. Might be better.
Did I already guess it?
I don't think you did. If you guessed the Santa Claus with Tim Allen, it's not that movie.
Okay. I also guessed Santa Claus the movie.
That's what this is.
Gotcha. Which
okay.
I have.
Oh, you have it?
Well, yeah. It's.
You gotta close by.
Have it ready to go. Yes. At a moment's notice.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm ready at any moment.
I love the original theatrical poster for it. Like on the Wikipedia and IMDb page for the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Like his face is kind of out of focus, but it's not. Like, I don't know what's going on in it, but it's intriguing. It's kind of cool.
I do. I think every Christmas Eve, I do send my friend Tim a video of the theme song. Yes, and I feel like you have to play the Santa Claus theme song. Yeah, so that looks like a Christmas card Santa.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
the other poster is this one.
Oh yeah, that's a little too fancy. So.
Yeah, but this one, as I'm saying, it's kind of.
Yeah. It looks like that. He doesn't look like that in the movie, you know. And
no. It's a good movie, though, right?
It is. Okay. Well,
it's enjoyable.
I think it's enjoyable. There, it has some definitely cringeworthy moments. But if you do want to play 20 seconds of the theme song, I just sent you a YouTube link.
No. Okay. Let's do it.
So it is a kind of a cringe-worthy song, but it always reminds me. My friend's like, no! And it's one of those movies that sounds... one of those movies that feels like it's like 2.5 hours long, and I think it's probably just over an hour and a half or something like that, but it goes on and on and on and on. So,
how long is the actual movie? 2.5?
No, I don't think so. But it just feels
it
that
feels
way.
Like it's yes. I think you've mentioned that before.
It's 109
minutes. 109 minutes.
Every Christmas Eve, we are part of a miracle. Every girl and boy shares the joy if they believe.
I mean, Henry Mancini wrote Blue River, and he's up there.
Just believe in the miracle. You will carry joy with you every Christmas.
Okay, that's enough.
I give him credit for doing an original song that sounds Christmassy.
It is Christmassy, so. But I send that to my friend every Christmas Eve.
I like that. That's very cool. Next tagline is... Peace, harmony, comfort, and joy. Maybe next year.
Is that like Home for the Holidays?
It is not Home for the Holidays, but they did. There's two sequels to this movie. The one is universally bypassed, and they just did another one on HBO Max like 2 years ago.
My goodness.
And it's considered more people watch this Christmas movie, I think, than any other Christmas movie.
Is this Christmas Vacation? Is that what you're saying? I'm just,
it's a Christmas story.
It's a Christmas. Oh, but
I'm wondering who. I feel like people watch that more than Christmas Vacation, even though Vacation's a much better movie.
Yeah, because Christmas Story, I mean, what there's in their channel that has it on 24-hour repeat, too.
Which is ridiculous.
Even though there's a certain amount of people that have no idea what a Christmas Story is. But I totally forgot there was a Christmas Story, too.
Yeah, with I think Daniel Stern's in it.
Something. I did like A Summer Story, which was...
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know people that like that. You enjoy it.
They had a good cast. Charles Grodin and Mary Steenburgen. And I did like A Christmas Story, Christmas.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fun.
Yeah.
Next one is Their Christmas Will Turn the Town Upside Down. It has I believe your favorite actresses in this film.
Is this Christmas with the Cranks?
Yes, it is. It's Christmas with the Cranks.
There you go, Brian. I know you're listening.
Brian had to mention the Cranks.
What a movie.
What a film.
have you seen Christmas with the Cranks?
I have not. No. I think this might be the year.
This might be the one we should do a watch-along type.
I'll do it. Video. I'll do it. Yeah. Let's do it next show. We'll do it before the holiday. I did watch 1984's A Christmas Carol last night, which I forget to put on my list, but I've never seen that with George C. Scott. Have you seen it?
Oh, I think I have, yeah.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Yeah. I forgot about that one.
But we should do Cranks. That'd be a fun watch. All right. I'll give you two more here. I have eight more, but I feel like...
You do what you need to do.
I'll do two more. This holiday season, believe.
Is this like Prancer or something?
Oh, Prancer should be on this list. Oh. You know, I saw that theatrically.
Oh, did you?
It's not bad. It has Jonathan Galecki, who was in every movie in like the 80s. He was like in Prancer and Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. Say the tagline again.
This holiday season, believe. I'll give you a hint. It's the first movie of its kind.
Oh, is this Polar Express?
It's Polar Express.
Oh.
With Eddie Deason, who likes to grab your face.
Who's doing conventions again, everybody. Don't worry.
Oh, he is?
He's been released.
He plays the know-it-all kid. Yeah, that's his name. And that's the know-it-all kid. And he's like, hey, what are you going to do? How about some Santa? Here's the latest on Eddie Deason.
Yeah.
He was been found not competent to stand trial in his upcoming criminal trial. This is according to TMZ. And he's been transferred to the Maryland Department of Health for treatment. This was last year. So it looks like he's out and ready to start mingling with the public again.
All right. Well, good for him.
If you see him at a show,
just keep your distance.
I would suggest keeping your distance.
The more I think about that Polar Express tagline, I think it should be, what was it again?
The Polar Express tagline was, this holiday season, believe.
Okay. I feel like it should be, because obviously the CGI was kind of, it should be more something about suspend your belief.
Because the CGI was very primitive.
Yeah, it was just like, whew.
Well, and Tom Hanks plays every character, even the boy.
Yeah.
So you hear his voice. You know Tom Hanks's voice. Mm-hmm. So it's really Tom Hanks having a conversation with eight other Tom Hankses.
Yeah.
So he's like, what are you doing, kid? And you're like.
It's Tom Hanks doing a puppet show.
Yeah. I don't know why they used him for every voice. I don't, unless it was in his contract or something. I don't know.
I can do it all.
It was like that. Yeah. Just because you could doesn't mean you should. Looking at you, Pinocchio.
Oof.
He didn't have to be Geppetto. He just didn't. Okay, I'll give you one more here, Robert. And the tagline is his father, her mother, his mother, and her father all in one day.
Yep, you might have to repeat that.
His father, her mother, his mother, and her father all in one day. It's a weird mouthful of a tagline, but it's real. And it was a, I don't know how well it did, but it was a commercial, big budget film, kind of with big names in the last 20 years, I think.
Hmm.
The key is there's four people, four in the tagline.
Yeah. Is that four Christmases?
Yes, four Christmases.
So I actually,
like that movie.
I do, because
you do? Oh, good.
I do actually, but yeah, because one same thing. Every 15 minutes, if you didn't like that particular family, yeah, you know, you just kind of mix it up and whatever. And that was the one where I know Reese hits the baby's head.
Turns.
Yeah.
It's funny, and it kind of captures that feeling of like, oh, we have to travel. Like, I don't like this family member, and it's,
yeah,
you get it.
Any movie with Sissy Spacek is good for me. So even in the smallest of roles.
Even if it's Castle Rock.
Yes. So, but yeah, so I do watch that. And actually, I think I watch that almost on an annual basis. If I'm clipping around, I see that during the Christmas season. So that is worth it. So,
yeah, it is a good movie.
Yeah.
We did good, Robert. That was good.
No Silent Night, Deadly Night. What?
I feel like I think that's more of a horror movie, right?
It's a Christmas movie. It is.
Okay, I'll revisit that.
You don't get more Christmassy than Silent Night, Deadly Night. Come on.
You really don't. I kind of really want to watch the Santa Claus now. Is it streaming anywhere? I got to find this.
Santa Claus the movie or the
Santa Claus the movie.
Santa Claus the movie.
Oh yeah,
I just have the Blu-ray, of course. So, I don't know if it is streaming. It might be. So.
Oh man, I just love that you like this movie.
Well,
it is streaming on
is it
on Philo, Sling, YouTube, AM? No, it's not streaming. You have to pay for it, but I'll pay for it. I feel like I should watch this now because you love it.
Well, I don't know. It's something that you just need to see, you know. So this is the Salkins were, this was their answer to the follow up of Superman. Thinking like this will be the next big thing, so they had money to throw at it, you know, and they. I think they kind of built it around Dudley Moore because they thought he'd be the perfect elf and so forth. John Lithgow.
I can see that.
Yeah, which he was having quite the. Was that the same year as Terms of Endearment and Footloose and everything else? I think so. I think he was on.
I think it was 85.
85. So gotcha. But
maybe.
Now we have to check. So we know it all here.
We know it all here. Yeah, 85 is Santa Claus the movie. Okay, Footloose is 84.
So 84, 85, John Lithgow right there was on top of things. Yeah.
Did you ever see, you jogged my memory when you mentioned Silent Night, Deadly Night, that there's a horror movie, it's called Rare Exports, about Santa?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I'm Matt and I have it all. Oh, by the way, Krampus was on my Hulu, like, hey, holiday things, and it was like, A Christmas Carol, Wonderful Life, and then Krampus in there. I was like, you, no. And it was holiday favorites, and I'm like, this is not a favorite of anybody.
Nobody.
This movie sucks. But it was there.
Nobody likes it. Some people.
It made you mad.
It did. I still get, my fingers start cramping up when I start thinking about how mad it made me.
I just can't believe, I mean, I'm sorry it happened to you, but it's hilarious that you're in a theater and you're like, I was literally mad. I was actually angry.
I literally wanted to throw stuff at the screen. I could not stand it. I don't know if I was in a bad mood or what, but just like, I was not falling for their shtick. I'll tell you that. Yeah.
It was bad. It was bad. And finally we have Blind Man's Bluff from setjetter.com. I'm going to pick a random page of Robert's website, read him the preview, and we're going to go through his majestic experience. Are you ready for the scripto, sir?
Let's give it a go.
Today marks the anniversary for the release of this movie, released on February 28th, 1992. One John Carpenter's strays from his typical genre. This film didn't land with audiences or critics.
Of an Invisible Man.
Yes. This, by the way, this is a, I don't know if I mentioned this when we were doing the movies by year, but this is a guilty pleasure of mine. I do like this movie significantly. And I know how bad it is, but it's fun.
It could have been good. It
could have been better.
All right, well, yeah.
My balls are in a Petri dish.
Oh, my
I just saw it at the right time as a kid, liked it, and I think that's transferred over. If I saw it now as a new, without seeing it, I probably wouldn't, but I did watch this a lot, and it was just so interesting to me. I'm like, how do they make him invisible with the rain? That's so cool.
Yeah. There's some good special effect moments, for sure, jogging on the beach, and like you said, the rain at the train station.
The makeup.
Yeah, but
and when she puts the makeup on him to
yes,
it's yeah. Like 1992 was pretty good,
and so that's the thing. It should have been better than what we got. You know, between
yeah,
and maybe it's the wrong mix of people. You know, mixed. I mean, can you imagine mixing up John Carpenter and Chevy Chase? Like what?
No, yeah, right, exactly.
And Daryl Hannah and Sam Neill, like
right.
What kind of chemistry is happening here? So.
Sam Neill. When I saw this too, it was right. I think it was after I saw Jurassic Park. So I was like, oh, it's Dr. Grant. I already like it. So it was all kind of working. But I didn't like Daryl Hannah, that guy that was maybe getting a little too firm with her.
Yeah.
That made me uncomfortable even as a kid. I'm like, I'm glad Chevy Chase like punched him. But like, there were some kind of some unnecessary elements in that plot.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the 90s, you know.
It was the 90s. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
but this is an awesome page. I did look at this after I picked it, and I just want to go through it. It's in San Francisco. Like, where's Powell Street? Is this? I see the pyramid in the back.
Yep. Yeah, so yeah, I'm not a good San Francisco person, but while I was there many years ago, I tried to shoehorn in some memoirs of an Invisible Man location. So I know they kind of go back and forth between that and L.A. Of course, we have the Greystone Mansion here, which you see all the time. Those particular steps.
What's the shirt here? What's the shirt?
It looks Halloween like... shirt, of course.
Okay. Okay. What a
great
page. Oh, there's the black and white checkers.
Yeah. It's just, you can't miss it. So,
can't miss it.
And then the drunk guy crossing the street, or he used him to get a cab or something like that. So, but the phone booth people, that's what he's doing. But I was on my way to see Madonna at the Forum, and so I stopped by this location in Inglewood because why else would you go to Inglewood?
Hey, only to see Madge or Invisible Man.
So back to San Francisco. I think this is his apartment.
Here it is during the day.
Yep, same sewer grate.
See this element. I mean, I know Sam Neill was a weird dichotomy, but I do like the black Men in Black kind of rogue agents going after him with the infrared.
Still,
it was fun.
Absolutely, it's still bad government time, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Knob Hill, very called Snob Hill, very nice neighborhood of.
Yeah.
I love the limos too, like the 90s with the antenna, because you know we're all watching TV in there. Like it's so cool.
That's what you did back then.
It's what you did. It's a great page. Anything about this, Robert? When did you shoot these?
I think it was like 2015. I did a lot of these when I was taking a program at Stanford for a week or so, and so I days off I took some time and went up to San Francisco.
What was the program at Stanford on?
Executive program for nonprofit leaders.
You're quite the scholar.
No,
I mean that. You're very, I always like, I don't ever forget, but it's very like, you're a.
It was a good time.
So. You're an accomplished man, I guess I'm trying to say.
We have Huntington Park here, which looks about the same over the years. Obviously, of course, the trees got bigger, but.
Was this the same park as Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Nope. This, I'm sure this park has been used in other things for sure. Yeah. But yeah, so
Matthew, much the same. Matthew. Yeah. I did that so much from that movie. It got to the point where people were like, you need
stop. Please stop now.
It was bad.
Then we're down in Santa Ana.
I've seen this building. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know this train station has been used quite a bit. I think Rain Man, that's probably what it's best known for.
Stanley Babbitt.
But this is the good rain effects sequence.
Quarter Pound Gary. Here's you with Daryl Hannah. Look how young you look.
Oh, yeah. So,
not that you look old. I'm saying
look, compared I, like, to... I look like a little skinny rat there. But so, yeah, so that was Sundance 1998. And as you can see, it was snowing quite heavily. And
yeah,
my sister and I were walking up the street and she was walking down the street, you know, sunglasses. I'm like, nobody's really paying attention. But as we passed by, I heard her talking. And I was like, I think that's Daryl Hannah. And then
good ear.
We kind of did a circle back and she was nice enough to stop and take a picture. So, that but I remember cool. Then later that week, because there was JFK Jr. was also in Park City, Utah that week. So there was rumors that they were rekindling.
Sure.
Yep. So
interesting.
Yeah. So
here's you with the great John Carpenter
and the John Carpenter himself. So
this is a great page, Robert. Great work as always, sir.
Thank you. So I'm glad you enjoyed the movie.
Do you revisit Memoirs of an Invisible Man ever?
No. I'm sorry. Let me say that differently. No, I don't.
No. I mean, if it were on in a hotel room, would you watch it or would you not?
I would probably give it a good 15 minutes, you know, of like just to see some scenes and then be like, but it's one of those, like right now I'm trying to think, I'm like, it's one of those that sputters out at the end. I can't even remember how it ends, you know. You know,
neither can I. Yeah, I do remember how it ends, and it does sputter quickly.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things that I know. I say, oh, why don't I like this more? You know, because I like, you know, how certain things look and whatever. And he goes to his friend's house at the beach, and they have some, you know, it's disgusting when he eats and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then something happens, and then you're just like, I don't. I'm sure it ends. Yeah.
You know, I don't remember how the climax ends. I remember the last shot, which is not the same. It's them walking away and she's has his arm around him and it looks like she's just holding the air. But I don't remember the events. So no, I don't remember either. It is kind of all over the place. I'm with you. You remember him, the explosion, and then he's at the beach house for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam Neill is just like, they're using infrared. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
But it's been a while since I've seen it, but I have seen it a lot. It's just, it's very clunky, I think.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's one of those, they should have, well, obviously, you know, we have The Invisible Man, you know, that was that 3 years, 4 years ago and stuff like that, which went heavily into thriller. And this one, it danced between both, you know, it's the same thing when you have Chevy Chase or Eddie Murphy is like, is this funny or is this...
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Good comparison.
Yeah, it's not like
no.
Adam Sandler he's either doing Punch Drunk Love or Happy Gilmore. You know, he doesn't try to play both. You know, like within the same film and stuff like that. So this one is like, what are we're doing Chevy Chase stick, but then we have serious. You know, like
it didn't work.
He's gonna die or something like that if he doesn't get the, you know, stuff like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, they do. Jim Carrey sometimes has dabbled into that territory.
Yeah. Yeah,
where he's like, doing like a stick for like one scene and the next, it's kind of serious, but it's not a comedy. And you're like, okay, I guess it's okay.
What are we doing here? Yeah, so.
Yeah. But
John Carpenter doesn't care. So he's like, I got John paid. Carpenter, that's all I cared about.
Yeah, that's it. It's fine. But that'll be your show tonight. And unless you had anything else, Robert?
No, I don't think so.
Now it's always a pleasure.
We all have our homework. Yeah.
We do have homework. Santa Claus the Movie and Love Actually, unfortunately.
Can I watch the trailer and pretend I've seen it?
Does yes, of course.
I don't know. So, okay.
No, I would never ask you to watch that because I'm afraid you're really going to hate it. Here's the thing. When it came out, there's so much going on. There's so many isolated scenes on YouTube that you will like, or at least you would have in 2004. It does stay with you.
Yeah.
But if you've never seen it and you watched it in 2023, there are some pretty cringe moments. All but right. I'd be curious.
Okay.
Well, I'll watch The Cranks and Santa Claus, and you watch YouTube clips of Love Actually, and we'll rendezvous before Christmas.
All right. I'll try to watch a Garfield Christmas.
Garfield Christmas.
I'll watch that with Maybe and see what she thinks about it. So.
All right. Well, I'm curious to know what she thinks. Well, that'll be your show. Check out Robert's webpage at setjitter.com. And we will see you on the set.